Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Helping People Change Coaching with Compassion for Lifelong Learning and Growth is a leadership, coaching, and professional development book by Richard Boyatzis, Melvin Smith, and Ellen Van Oosten. Published by Harvard Business Review Press, it addresses a common problem in managerial, educational, medical, and advisory roles. People often try to help others by identifying what is wrong and pushing corrective action. The authors argue that this deficit-centered approach usually produces defensiveness, compliance, or short-term adjustment rather than sustained growth. Their alternative is coaching with compassion, a method grounded in emotional intelligence, developmental psychology, and neuroscience-informed research. The book explains why durable change begins with a person's own hopes, values, strengths, and desired future, not with another person's diagnosis of shortcomings. Its purpose is practical as well as conceptual. It gives leaders, coaches, teachers, clinicians, and mentors a framework for helping people learn in ways that are self-directed, relationally supported, and more likely to last. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why fixing people often blocks the change it seeks to create. A central argument of helping people change is that many helping conversations begin from the wrong premise. Managers, coaches, teachers, and advisors often assume that their task is to identify gaps, point out weaknesses, and move the other person toward a preferred standard. The authors do not deny that performance problems, skill gaps, or behavioral consequences matter. Their concern is that a corrective stance can make the person feel judged or managed, which narrows attention and encourages self-protection. When change is framed mainly as compliance, people may temporarily cooperate while remaining emotionally detached from the process. The book distinguishes this from development that is connected to personal meaning. If a person sees change as part of a desired life, role, or identity, effort becomes more internally supported. This reframes the helper's responsibility. Rather than leading with diagnosis, the helper begins by understanding what the person values, wants to become, and already does well. The reasoning is concrete, sustained change requires energy, and people rarely draw lasting energy from feeling deficient. They are more likely to persist when change is linked to aspiration, dignity, and agency. Secondly, personal vision as the engine of lifelong learning. The book places unusual emphasis on personal vision, treating it not as an inspirational accessory, but as a developmental mechanism. Boyatzis and his co-authors argue that people are more open to learning when they can imagine a future self that feels desirable and authentic. This future orientation may include professional goals, family commitments, values, contribution, or a broader sense of purpose. By helping someone articulate such a vision, the coach creates a reference point that is stronger than external evaluation alone. The person can then ask whether current habits, relationships, and choices support or undermine that preferred future. This is different from goal setting in a narrow performance sense. A goal can be imposed or tactical, while a personal vision organizes motivation over time. It also helps make feedback less threatening, because feedback becomes information in service of something the person already wants. The book's practical implication is that effective helping conversations should start with inquiry before advice. Questions about hopes, strengths, meaningful achievements, and desired impact are not soft preliminaries. They are the foundation for learning that can survive difficulty, delay, and imperfect progress. Thirdly, intentional change through the ideal self, real self, strengths, and gaps. Helping People Change draws on Boyatzis's long-standing work on intentional change, especially the movement between the ideal self and the real self. The ideal self represents who a person wants to become, while the real self concerns current behavior, capabilities, habits, and patterns as they are experienced by oneself and others. The value of this distinction is that it avoids two common errors. One error is fantasy, where a person imagines change without examining present realities. The other is deficit fixation, where assessment overwhelms aspiration. The book argues for holding both together. A coach helps the person identify strengths that can be used as leverage, as well as gaps that may need attention. This produces a more balanced developmental map. Strengths are not used to deny problems, and gaps are not used to define the whole person. The logic is developmental rather than remedial. Change becomes a process of aligning current behavior with a personally meaningful future. Trusting relationships are essential, because honest reflection requires enough safety to examine reality without collapse into shame or defensiveness. The framework, therefore, connects self-awareness, motivation, and relational support into one change process. Fourthly, emotional intelligence as a practical condition for effective coaching. The authors treat emotional intelligence as central to helping others change because coaching is not only a transfer of information, it is an interpersonal process shaped by attention, empathy, timing, and emotional tone. A leader may have accurate observations but still fail if the conversation is delivered in a way that activates defensiveness or reduces trust. Helping people change emphasizes that coaches need to listen for what matters to the other person, notice emotional cues, and regulate their own impulse to correct too quickly. This is especially important for people in authority, whose feedback can be experienced as evaluation even when offered supportively. Emotional intelligence also affects how constructive feedback is framed. The book does not suggest avoiding difficult conversations. Instead, it implies that feedback works better when it is connected to the person's aspirations and offered with genuine concern for the person's development. This makes the helper's emotional stance part of the method, not a personality preference. Compassion, in this context, is disciplined attention to another person's growth. It requires curiosity, patience, and enough humility to avoid substituting the coach's agenda for the learner's own sense of purpose. Lastly, applying compassionate coaching in organizations without losing accountability. Although the book is relevant to professional coaches, its broader audience includes managers, educators, physicians, mentors, and organizational leaders who must help people adapt. One practical contribution is its challenge to conventional organizational change practices that rely heavily on directives, performance gaps, and problem correction. The authors argue that repeated waves of change are more likely to exhaust people when they are treated as objects to be fixed or aligned. Coaching with compassion offers a different route by connecting adaptation to personal values, strengths, and desired contribution. This does not mean eliminating standards, ignoring poor performance, or replacing management with encouragement. Rather, it changes the sequence and quality of the conversation. Accountability becomes more constructive when people understand how new behavior connects to who they want to be and what they care about. The approach is particularly useful in contexts where learning must be continuous, such as leadership development, healthcare, education, and knowledge work. Its limitation is that it requires time, skill, and genuine relational intent. Used superficially, compassionate language can become another managerial technique. Applied seriously, it asks organizations to make human development part of performance rather than a separate concern. In conclusion, helping people change is best suited for readers who regularly influence another person's learning executives, managers, internal coaches, consultants, educators, physicians, therapists, mentors, and human resources professionals. It will also benefit readers interested in emotional intelligence and leadership development because it links interpersonal skill to the mechanics of sustained behavioral change. The practical benefit is a clearer way to structure helping conversations. Instead of beginning with what is wrong, the reader learns to explore personal vision, strengths, values, and the conditions that make honest self-assessment possible. The intellectual benefit is the book's integration of coaching practice with research-informed ideas about motivation, emotion, and self-directed learning. Compared with many coaching books, it stands out for its specific contrast between coaching for compliance and coaching with compassion. It is not simply a book about being supportive, nor is it a checklist of coaching questions. Its distinctive contribution is the claim that positive emotional connection to a desired future is not optional. It is central to the change process itself. Readers looking for a highly technical coaching manual may want additional tools. But those seeking a rigorous and humane framework for developmental conversations will find the book especially useful. Its enduring value lies in showing how accountability, empathy, aspiration, and learning can be combined without reducing people to problems. If you would like to support Richard Boyatzis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.